Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly podcast. For more information about First Baptist Tulsa, check us out on the web, tulsafbc.org. First Baptist Tulsa has a simple mission, to glorify God in all we do. We want to make God look good because He is good. May God bless you with His goodness this week. So today we are beginning a brand new teaching series called The Dark Side. And the first thing I want to do is to be very clear and tell you what this teaching series is not. And as a communicator, one of the first things you're taught is never to begin a message with a negative. Always start with a positive. But I want to risk that today for the sake of clarity. This teaching is not the gospel according to Star Wars. So now that we got that out of our system, all right, this is not the gospel according to Star Wars. Don't do it again. Stop, okay? Well done, guys. And I love Star Wars. I love science fiction. I love the storytelling that goes along with Star Wars. And most of all, I love all the trivia and the facts that come out of the Star Wars franchise. If you know me, I love trivia. I love factoids. For instance, when the creative directors were designing the face for Yoda, they wanted a face that would speak of trust and wisdom. And so they modeled Yoda's face after Albert Einstein. Put them up next to each other. They're doppelgangers. Even the white, wild shock of hair, they modeled Yoda after Albert Einstein. Did you know that George Lucas, before James Earl Jones was the voice of Darth Vader, you know who he really wanted? Some of you who are older will know this name. He wanted Orson Welles. But was afraid that his voice, his baritone voice, would be too easily recognized. And, in my opinion, the greatest ad-lib line in movie history, when Princess Leia tells Han Solo, "I love you," Han Solo was scripted to say, "I love you back," but Harrison Ford knew Han was too much of a rebel for that. So Princess Leia says, "I love you." He says, "I know." I tried that with a girl once, and it did not work out at all like the movie said it would. So this is not going to be the gospel according to Star Wars, but what Star Wars does do, and by the way, it's been everywhere in the last month, right? I mean, movie trailers, product endorsements, all over commercials, everyone's talking about it. What it does do is it gives us an opportunity to study true evil in the real world, because Star Wars does an excellent job in portraying evil, and even personifying evil in Darth Vader or whoever the villains may be in the particular episodes. And by my count, on two occasions, Jesus prayed that we would be protected from evil, from malevolent forces at work in our universe. Once is in John chapter 17, but the other, interestingly enough, is in Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus is teaching us to pray. And one of those lines, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." So here's the deal. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you're a child of God, you are involved in spiritual conflict. There are dark forces that we need to deal with in our universe. So here's the first thing I want to do today, and I cannot tell you how core and central and important this next piece is. I want us to define spiritual conflict. When we talk about spiritual conflict, what are we talking about? What are we going to be talking about the next 2 months? Well, here's the best definition I know of spiritual conflict. It is the struggle, and you can write this down if you want to, but honestly, we're going to see it so much in the next couple months, you'll probably memorize it. Spiritual conflict is the struggle between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, and it involves the self, which the scripture often refers to as the flesh, culture, which is the world around us, and Satan, who is also known as the devil. Okay, so I want to pick up on a couple of pieces of this definition. What is the kingdom of God? By the way, if you read the four Gospels, if you read the teachings of Jesus, this was his main topic. He talked about this over and over and over and over and over again. The kingdom of God. Well, just take the word kingdom, lop off the suffix, and you have the word king. What did Jesus come to teach us? He came to teach us how God could be the king of your heart and my heart, your life and my life. The kingdom of God is God's rule in the human heart. So we are meant to be citizens of this kingdom. Our entire hearts, our entire lives belong to him. But we need to know that there is another kingdom. There is the kingdom of darkness. And these two kingdoms are in conflict, and that conflict happens in three arenas. Within ourselves, there's an internal element to this. It happens around us in the world. There's a cultural, external element, but there's also an unseen and eternal element to this. And we call him Satan. We call him the devil. Now, I want to camp out on those three areas for just a moment, because they are the three arenas where spiritual conflict between these competing kingdoms take place. Okay? Inside the self. Hey, this isn't going to surprise any of us. There's conflict that happens inside of each of us between what is right and what feels right. So last year, worldwide, there were 8 people killed by shark attacks. That's the number that was reported and recorded. 8 people killed in shark attacks. Also last year, 12 people were killed while taking selfies. Either they got too close to a cliff or too close to moving water. They weren't paying attention to anything but themselves, and it caused their destruction. Selfishness is very destructive. Selfishness can even be deadly. And so we wrestle internally. And if you want an example of this internal conflict, hey, anyone who struggles with addiction will tell you that they struggle with what feels right versus what is right. And so that conflict is happening in here. The conflict is also happening around us in culture. And culture pressures us many times to conform. Okay, let me just give an example here. Sex trafficking is something that probably everyone in the room would say, that's an evil. That's a cultural evil. Boy, we would never be a part of that. Well, I want you to think about how we compromise in little areas. And actually, this is a big area. Men, if you view porn in any form, you are a part of that industry. And even around us, as seemingly innocent commercials push sex, sex sells, there's the pressure to conform and not be so prudish, right? Well, that's conflict happening in the world around us. Then there's the unseen element, dealing with Satan, dealing with the devil. Now, some of you, a flag just went up, and you go, okay, I feel the conflict in here. I can see the conflict happening around me. But when it comes to the devil, when it comes to Satan, you know what? I just don't know if I believe in him at all. Well, I want to invite a couple of people to the conversation this morning. Saint Obi-Wan Kenobi, Saint Han Solo, and Saint Luke Skywalker would, yes, I saw a couple of people put their hand over their heart. Would you listen to their conversation for 2 minutes?
Remember, a Jedi can feel the Force flowing through him.
You mean he controls your actions?
Partially, but it also obeys your commands.
Pokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side.
You don't believe in the Force, do you?
Kid, I've flown from one side of this galaxy to the other. I've seen a lot of strange stuff, but I've never seen anything to make me believe there's one all-powerful Force controlling everything. There's no mystical energy field that controls my destiny. It's all a lot of simple tricks and nonsense.
I suggest you try it again, Luke. This time, let go your conscious self and act on instinct.
With the blast shield down, I can't even see. How am I supposed to fight?
Your eyes can deceive you. Don't trust them. stretch out with your feelings. You see? You can do it.
I call it luck.
In my experience, there's no such thing as luck.
Look, good against remotes is one thing. Good against the living, it's something else. Looks like we're coming up on Alderaan.
You know, I did feel something. I could almost see the remote.
That's good. You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Somebody used that conversation just to say, who do you identify with more when it comes to the unseen spiritual elements? Would you put yourself in the company of Han Solo, that it's hard for you to believe in something that you can't see? Or have you had some experiences in life that it's not seeing is believing, it's believing is seeing, and so you would identify more with Obi-Wan? And maybe all of us are kind of in the Luke Skywalker category as far as this teaching series. It is time that we take some steps into a larger world beyond just what we can see and observe around us. So I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 for just a moment. I was really torn on how to begin this teaching series. Genesis 3, which is the first book in the Bible, third chapter, Genesis 3 deals with our first encounter with Satan, humanity's first encounter with Satan. The other option is to begin with the idea of where Satan comes from, and we're going to deal with that next week, but I think it's important to lay the groundwork to talk about how we respond to Satan, how we respond to the devil, and then next week we will look at his origins, because I think that has something to teach us as well. So this is Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And the serpent said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, to Satan, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say we must not eat from the fruit that is from the tree in the middle of the garden, and we must not touch it or we will die. You will not certainly die, Satan said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? God is always seeking us out. He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. So this passage in Genesis 3 is often called the original sin, and what is so funny about it is it really is the original template for sin. We just repeat the same thing over and over and over again, don't we? I mean, God gives a very clear command, and then we question that command, we doubt it, we are tempted, we compromise, and then we get afraid, we hide, we feel guilty. If you read this passage, it goes on, there's the blame game that follows. But what I also notice in this passage is that all three elements of spiritual conflict are here. The struggle internally, Adam and Eve, and Eve, we catch part of her conversation as she struggles between what is right and what feels right. We see the cultural pressure as Eve is ready to compromise and pressures Adam to do the same thing. By the way, don't be too down on Eve, all right? It took the devil to tempt the woman. It only took the woman to tempt the man. All right. But most of all, we see the satanic, we see the demonic element of this. So I want to use Genesis 3 this morning just to talk and laying a little groundwork for future weeks. What are the attitudes that we need to avoid in dealing with the devil? And then what is the one attitude that we must have? Okay. So here's the first attitude I believe we need to avoid. We don't need to be obsessed with Satan. Let me encourage you in your spiritual walk. Do not be obsessed with the devil. And this is something that I have personal experience with. In high school, I had a good friend named Tony, and Tony and I were reading books together, and I found a book. I even remember the title. He Came to Set the Captives Free. I started reading this book. It was about Satan's activity and the demonic, and I really liked the beginning of the book. So I said, hey, Tony, you need to pick up this book. Well, as I continued to read on, there were a lot of things that just weren't lining up with Scripture. And I learned then an important lesson. Don't recommend a book until I've read the whole thing. Well, Tony bought into this, and I remember on several occasions he would carry his Bible and this book around, and all of a sudden Tony became an expert at spotting the demonic. And so he'd say, you know, Satan is possessing that person, or Satan is influencing that person, and it just kind of freaked me out. But I had the benefit at a young age in learning this, and it's really just Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord, not the fear of Satan, is the beginning of wisdom. It's when we have respect for God, not when we always have to be suspicious about Satan. That's the root of wisdom. I want you to get this from Genesis chapter 3. Notice how God warns Adam and Eve about the forbidden fruit, but God never warns them about the snake in the garden. He never warns them about the existence of Satan. You know, in my natural mind, I would put that in a category of would have been nice to know. God never warns them about Satan. He warns them about the forbidden fruit. Perhaps that is because, listen, if we focus on obedience, Satan becomes irrelevant. If we just focus on the commands of God and focus on putting our loyalty there, Satan becomes unimportant. He becomes irrelevant. He becomes obsolete in your life. So we don't need to be obsessed with Satan. That would be an attitude I think we need to avoid. Now, there's the other extreme. We also don't need to be ignorant of Satan. If you pick up on no other word from Genesis chapter 3, I want you to see the very first description given of the devil. He is crafty, meaning that Satan is endlessly inventive on how he can cause destruction in your life. He is so creative when it comes to the evil that he might be able to cause you. And here he works his evil in Eve's life. He deceives her. In fact, Jesus in the New Testament would call Satan the father of lies. And so we don't need to be obsessed, but we cannot be ignorant. That's an attitude that we need to avoid. We cannot afford to be ignorant about Satan's deceptions. So what are some of the lies that he might tell us? Here's my top three. Number one, if you know you're sinning, here's the lie that he will tell you. You're only hurting yourself. It's nobody else's business. If this hurts anybody, it's only you. Don't worry about what other people think. Let me tell you, that's a lie, because if anybody in the world loves you, you are hurting them if you go into a self-destructive pattern. Okay? Here's another lie. No one will ever find out. Somebody will always find out. And here's the last lie, and I think this is the most destructive, and it's okay, I'll just pretend I'm the devil for just a minute, and some of you that won't take much, but just pretend for just a second. Here's what the devil might say. I don't even exist. I think this is a very dangerous lie. And some of you are wrestling with, does Satan really exist at all? One thing that the enemy really wants to do, and if you know anything about military tactics, if the enemy can make himself invisible, he has that much more an opportunity to become destructive. So in West Texas, there was a little trend, a little fashion trend that went around. Do you remember, those of you who are alive in the 80s, you remember the members only jacket? I was kind of late to that game, so I was the last member of the members only jacket. I think that kind of swept all across the nation. But there was another little trendy thing to wear in West Texas that for the people I've talked to, I didn't catch on here in Oklahoma, was to wear a camo t-shirt to school. I mean, if you were cool, you wore a camo t-shirt. And so the fun thing to do around school is when somebody was wearing a camo t-shirt, you'd walk up to them and run straight into them and go, oh, sorry, didn't see you. It was really boring where I grew up, and there was literally nothing else to do but just, hey, let's run into each other. That'll be fun. Yeah. Satan would love to make himself invisible to you. Because if he can do that, if he can convince you that he doesn't exist, you know what? He can become very destructive. Let me encourage you, if there's even a 1% chance that the devil exists, if there's even a 1% chance that the Bible is right, can you really afford to be ignorant? The Bible deals accurately with reality. Everything we're going to talk about for the next few weeks, it's going to come back to what does the Scripture say about Satan. I believe that the Bible deals accurately with reality. That's an important statement. And the refusal to acknowledge spiritual forces at work in the world, you know what? It may be a deficiency in your perception and not a defect in the Scripture. So what I'm asking you to do is, if you doubt the existence of Satan, I want you to consider that that might be a lie that he is trying to perpetrate in your mind, and for you to doubt your doubts. Say, you know what? Maybe I need to see reality as the Scripture portrays it and take my first steps into a larger world. So we don't need to be obsessed. We can't be ignorant. Let me also add this. We do not need to be afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid to mention it. I'm not doing Harry Potter this morning, he who must not be named. There is no reason that we need to be afraid of Satan. Here's why, and here's where our theology sometimes is influenced more by Star Wars than it is by the Scripture. In Star Wars, there's the Force, there's the good side and the dark side of the Force, and they are opposites and they are equal. And we don't know who exactly is going to win. But you need to know, according to the Scripture, Satan opposes God. He is in opposition to God and everything God wants to accomplish, and Satan opposes everything God wants to accomplish in your life. But whereas Satan is in opposition to God, he is nowhere near God's equal. God is in a category by himself. He is the only uncreated person in the universe. Everything else he created, including Satan, which we will talk about next week. And so Satan opposes God, but Satan is nowhere near equal to God. And if we are God's children, if we are followers of Christ, we are under his protection, under his rule, and we need not be afraid. You know, the big creatures, like, you know, crocodiles and hippos and how big and massive they are. Do you know a hippo can bite a crocodile in half? That's how powerful it is. Well, in comparison to us, Satan is powerful. He's as powerful as a hippo or a crocodile. He's huge. But in comparison to God, Satan is not a hippo. He's not even a crocodile. He's a cockroach. And we have no reason whatsoever to be afraid. So what is the attitude we are to have? Hey, we don't need to be obsessed. We can't afford to be ignorant. We need not be afraid. Here's the one charge I would give us as we go forward the next couple of weeks. Here's the attitude we are to have, and this is 1 Peter 5:8. Be alert, sober-minded, clear-minded. And another translation there says self-controlled. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, a hungry lion, looking for someone to devour. The only thing I call you to today is to be alert, awake, aware. And as we study, as we look at the Scriptures, we let the Holy Spirit do His work in our lives over the next couple of weeks, it's going to be this. How can we become alert to what the devil, who the devil is, and what he's trying to do in our world to understand his influence and how to avoid that in our own lives? And if you want to be alert to the work of Satan for no other reason, let me give you this one. I want you to notice from Genesis chapter 3, his first attack was against the home. So for your own sake and for your own family, we must be alert and aware. So let me give you this last thought. There is no neutrality when it comes to spiritual conflict. You are either a citizen of the kingdom of God, or you are complicit with the kingdom of darkness. Which side are you on? A few years ago, I did a funeral. Sorry, I get those two confused so often. I did a funeral, and it was a very difficult funeral to do because the lady who came to me, this was before she died, she said, my entire family were atheists. And not only were we atheists, we're pretty aggressive atheists. She said, but because of a friendship with somebody in your church, I have recently given my life to Christ. I'm not in good health. I don't have long to live, but when I die, I want you to do my funeral. And so I agreed to that, and again, she didn't know how long she had to live. She said, but whatever time I have left, I'm going to give to God. Well, you know what? 2 weeks later, she was gone. And her family came to see me again at her request, and I felt bad for them. Here's aggressive atheist coming to meet with a Baptist pastor. What are they walking into? But I sit with them, and they said, we're here because my wife, my mother, had one request, that you do her funeral. We want to honor that. They said, we have a request of you. We don't want you to mention God or Jesus at all in the funeral. And I told them, I said, I can't do this. This is not just a gig for me. There's no way I can talk about death and dying without God and Jesus any more than I could talk about the loves of my life without mentioning my wife. I can't do that. But I promise you, and I said, I don't want to put you in a difficult part. You're trying to honor her request and be true to your conviction, but I'm not going to come across as heavy-handed. I'm going to talk from Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, words of hope, words of peace. I'm not going to shake my finger at anybody. I appreciated the difficulty that they were in. They agreed to let me do the service. It was just a graveside service. And as I stood up and as I opened my Bible at this graveside, began to read from Psalm 23, the oldest daughter stood up and turned around with her back to me for the entire service. Now, I'd like to say things like that don't freak me out, but it freaked me out. Okay, she's here 5 feet away from me, her back turned toward me. But for me, that has always been a picture. Hey, in life, in eternity, in reality, you're facing in some direction. So I want to ask you right now, which way are you facing? Are you facing full on toward God? That you're not trying to please yourself, you're not giving in to the pressures of the world, and you know what? You want to live under His lordship or under His kingship, or most of us are maybe kind of turned sideways to Him, we're not sure. But in reality, if you're even turned sideways, you might as well have your back to Him. You're either a citizen of the kingdom of God, or you are complicit with the kingdom of darkness. And I want to ask you today, which way are you facing? I'm going to give you an opportunity to say a very short prayer. You know what? And this prayer, Christians have been praying this for 2,000 years. It's the earliest confession of the Christian faith. All it is three words. And when somebody's baptized, you hear this: Jesus is Lord. What that means is Jesus is my King. I live full face toward Him. Only you know what direction you're facing, and only you can do something about it.